Thanks for listening. I'm Sammy Nisbet, and you're listening to Late in Life Lesbian. Today is Sunday, December 10th, 2017, and I've got news for you. You've only got 15 shopping days until Christmas, and only 2 days left for those who are about to celebrate Hanukkah. I myself am completely unprepared for the holidays, as usual. I just stuck one of those laser light things into the ground yesterday right before the snow started falling. Decided I'm no longer risking my life by getting up on a ladder and hanging lights outside. I did that 2 years ago and almost broke my neck. So suffice it to say, I was delighted when I discovered those laser light decorations that you just stick in the grass, plug them in, and you're all set. Of course, I can't find the thing that I bought last year, so I had to go to the pharmacy and buy a replacement this year, but they've come down significantly in price, and it was only $8 at Walgreens. Can't beat it. I was also going to get a tree yesterday, but I realized that I've downsized my vehicle from an SUV to a small car, and I'm not about to go scratching up my new car with a Christmas tree, so eventually I'm going to have to borrow my parents' old car and get out there and get a tree, hopefully before Christmas Day. So it's been a quiet week around here, and not in a good way. My wife has been away on business since Thursday, and I miss her terribly. So, honey, if you are listening from your hotel room, hi, Tooks. And if you're watching any lesbian-themed movies on Amazon Prime, don't bother watching A Love Tale, and that's spelled L-U-V. This movie was from 1999, and for the love of God, I have no idea who gave it 5 stars, but last night I could not get through it. I tried. I really tried, but I couldn't. And babe, if you did watch this movie and you didn't warn me that it was awful, shame on you. So I have to admit, I'm sitting here with Alexa, and she is just not making me laugh the way you do. Alexa, tell me a joke.
Why was the sand wet? Because the sea weed.
That wasn't very funny. Alexa, tell me something interesting.
The Burj Khalifa in Dubai is so tall that you can see 2 sunsets in 1 day. Just watch the sunset from the ground floor, then take the elevator up to the top and watch it again.
Thank you. Alexa, sing me a song.
Oh, Captain, take me with you, take me on a journey. Oh, Captain, I beseech you, take me across the open sea.
Alexa, stop. Alexa, recommend a movie.
Okay, here's the MovieBot skill. Hey, it's MovieBot. A popular movie is The Shape of Water, an adventure drama film starring Sally Hawkins.
Thanks.
Goodbye.
Bye. Well, there you have it. That's been my last few days, just me and the old Echo chatting with one another. Anyway, speaking of movies or binge-watching, this isn't a really lesbian-themed show, but I binge-watched The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. It's a quirky little show about a 1950s housewife who decides to take up stand-up comedy after her husband leaves her. Now, as someone who has dabbled in the world of stand-up, the show was a perfect combination of delightful and awkward, all wrapped up in one series. My only regret is that I didn't pace myself, and I finished season one in about 2 days, and there's only one season so far. So in between shoveling and food shopping and binge-watching and sticking the Christmas lights in the ground, I managed to do something that I haven't done in quite a while. I actually played my guitar. I think I stopped playing for a few reasons. One of them is that my eldest son commandeered every guitar in the house, including mine, even though he has dozens of his own, and he managed to break my acoustic guitars. But for my birthday, the boy and his girlfriend bought me a new one. So another reason I haven't played is that I've just been so damn busy, and it's kind of affected my mood and just haven't had time to relax, but it's time to take a moment for myself and relax and play again. I used to play all the time back in the olden days when my wife and I were first together. I think I was probably trying to impress her or something. Anyway, the wifey did say that she wanted me to start playing again, so I think it's a good idea to start. I went through a phase where I would never play in front of anyone, and then I played a lot while I was doing stand-up comedy, and then I stopped playing in front of people again when I stopped doing comedy. I've always had these weird inhibitions about playing. I remember about 20-some-odd years ago, I can't believe it was that long ago. Anyway, it was more than 20 years ago, let's just put it that way. I was in this little band with some guys from work, and we were talking about rehearsing together one day, and this creepy little supervisor walked over and asked what instrument I played, and I said, guitar, and he turned to me and said, you're not going to turn into a dyke like Melissa Etheridge, are you? What I probably should have said was, I wish, but instead I was humiliated and embarrassed. Thinking back to that time, I think I felt back then as if I had a scarlet L on my forehead. But I'm the older, wiser, and more self-assured Sammy now, and with that being said, I'm going to play my heart out. Speaking of Melissa Etheridge, this is just an odd coincidence. I'm not sure if any of you've heard, but I saw it on the news this morning. I don't really follow her anymore, but I did hear on the news that she's no longer going to be participating in Sirius XM satellite radio. They have a music talk channel called Volume, and she's no longer going to be participating in that. And it turns out that a bunch of entertainers are boycotting Sirius because Sirius has brought back Steve Bannon and the program Breitbart News Daily. Now, I'm all over the map with my feelings on this one. There's the whole freedom of speech issue. You can't just cherry pick what you're going to allow and what you're not going to allow. But on the other hand, I don't know what your political affiliations are, but if you've ever heard anything that comes out of this guy's pie hole, you know that he's just spreading pure hatred. I say let Mr. Bannon start up his own satellite radio company. Don't let him on Sirius. I might even just have to cancel my subscription to Sirius XM. Who knows? That being said, I received some feedback on the website lateinlifelesbian.org and several emails regarding last week's topic about the role that religion or culture has played in your coming out process. And clearly this is an issue that affects many, many individuals. And I do want to summarize one of the emails that I received from a listener. This listener, I'll call her Nancy, was a devout Christian since an early age. And her mother and her ex-husband are still currently very involved in religion. And she has a child, so naturally there are concerns with her child and how the child is handling the situation. But she mentions that the biblical interpretation of homosexuality as sin has had a huge impact on her. She had been taught that, you know, to label LGBTQI community members as sinners and to essentially love the sinner but hate the sin. And it goes without saying that just that phrase alone is pretty hypocritical. Nancy pointed out, too, that the notion of sin might be an unfamiliar concept to those who are not deeply involved in religion, much like me. And again, which really, I have to say, I appreciate the email because this shed a lot of light on what individuals may be experiencing. But she did point out that the rules of religion are very arbitrary in the way that they're distributed, depending on the church that you belong to or the believer that you're speaking to. She did have the courage, though, after coming out, to actually challenge her reverend. And she asked him a very poignant question. And she asked, if we're all sinners, why preach so often against homosexuality, but preach so little about domestic violence? Her preacher agreed with her point, but nothing really changed. She also shared a very pivotal moment that occurred while she was in church one day. And she said that the minister was reading, with hostility in his voice, a list of sins, which began with being ungrateful to God and culminated with the worst sin of all, homosexual sex. And Nancy described that she felt as if she was unraveling, like she was shaking when she left the church. She felt that she had lived a life in which she had showed gratitude toward God and to the best of her ability, submitted to her husband. Yet she was attracted to women, which felt completely natural and resonated with who she really was. And she brought up another very important component of religion. She wrote that most Christians are caring and loving and build strong community, which means that a person coming out may lose an enormous support network. You know, one can admit to their same-sex attraction, but they have to repent. On the other hand, if a person goes forward and actually has a same-sex relationship, they're likely to be excluded from their ministry. And this in turn means exclusion from all types of involvement, such as music and community outreach and youth ministries, etc., that a person may have been involved with in their church for so long. And it takes a long time to reestablish yourself in similar types of activities. So in essence, you have a choice. You either remain single and celibate and stay connected to your family and your church community, or you live your authentic life and you have to sever those ties. And she said, and I'm going to quote her here, "Imagine how lonely and desperate people must feel." And that really describes how a lot of people who are involved so deeply with their religion and, you know, are struggling with their sexuality must feel, especially if they decide to take a stand. I can say that my own struggle was extremely challenging. I can't imagine what it would have been like for me if my life had been centered around religion, or my cultural upbringing for that matter. It doesn't necessarily just have to be religion. Nancy also mentioned that she knew a lot of people who went through conversion therapy, which I couldn't even wrap my head around. And she said she did not have the same horrible experiences that those people had had since she came out later in life. Interestingly, I remember when my brother came out to me when I was in my teens. This was in the mid-80s. And I remember him telling me distinctly that he hated himself and he wanted to go for some type of therapy, possibly hypnosis, so that he would no longer be gay. He did not do that, but I know that you know, there was so much self-loathing with him that he did actually consider that. And again, I'm going to reiterate, we didn't really have any deep religious ties. Yes, we attended church fairly regularly, but it wasn't in an atmosphere that was anti-gay. Finding counseling can be a challenge unto its own as well. Nancy mentioned that she went through a few counselors, I believe, who were Christian counselors, and she said that many did more harm than good, but she finally found a secular therapist who's helped her. Nancy, I can't thank you enough for sharing your experiences. I am certain that countless others have been in similar situations. So this really, your input and your story really does help people to feel as if they're not so alone in this. One thing that Nancy mentioned in her email was that she had no one to turn to after her first relationship with a woman ended. And I remember that feeling myself as if it were yesterday. I remember the first encounter that I had with a woman about 15 years ago. I was still married at the time, and this woman and I had this weird little fling, and it didn't last very long, but I was emotionally invested in this, and probably because it was sort of my first experience, my first kiss, or whatever you want to call it. Regardless, with the confusion and my not being able to make heads or tails of my emotions, I think I thought I was in love at the time. And I remember absolutely feeling as if I was falling apart after it ended, and I did not know where to turn. I had not told a single soul about this little fling, and I was pretty much still in denial about my own sexuality. Going through that alone was absolutely agonizing. There were no shoulders to cry on. There was no one there to assure me that everything would be okay. I did see a therapist at the time who was a wonderful woman, but I was in such denial that I painted a picture that was drastically different from reality. I wanted comfort, but I also wanted a professional to tell me that I wasn't gay. Naturally, you know, based on my spin of the encounter, the therapist told me I wasn't gay, not because the therapist was anti-gay herself, but because I wasn't honest with her. I've come to the conclusion after many years in and out of therapy that counseling will not work, even with a great counselor, unless you are absolutely willing to be completely honest and open with yourself. In my case, I was the one who caused myself more harm than good. I have a few other emails that I'm going to share in the next podcast. One is from a listener named Bottle Cap. So Bottle Cap, if you are listening, I will be sharing your experience in the next podcast. that about wraps it up for today. So put on your yarmulkes. It's time to celebrate Hanukkah, or deck those halls with boughs of holly, and hang in there. You can visit the website at lateinlifelesbian.org, where you'll find an occasional blog. You can reach out on the contact page on the website, or you can email me at lateinlifelesbian@gmail.com. I want to mention one more thing before closing. I figured out the mystery of the emails that I think are being inadvertently sent to me, and they should be going somewhere else. There is a blog site that is also someone's blog that's been in existence, it seems, for quite a while, that blogs about coming out late in life, and that email address is latelifelesbian@gmail, not lateinlifelesbian@gmail. I received an email from someone addressing me as Andrea and shared her whole story, and it seemed as if it went along with the theme of the podcast, but when I googled the name Andrea and Late in Life Lesbian, I did indeed find an online community devoted to coming out late in life. It's a wonderful blog. Don't know the name of it, the actual name of the website, but anyway, it's two different email addresses. If you're listening to the podcast, the Gmail is lateinlifelesbian@gmail.com. That's me, Sammy Nisbet. But if you've stumbled across me in another capacity, anyway, I did reach out to them and tell them you're looking for somebody else, but they can feel free to listen. So if you're listening by accident, I'm glad you're here. Anyway, thanks so much. This is Sammy Nisbet, and you've been listening to Late in Life Lesbian.